Hey everyone, welcome to the latest edition of the V8 Sleuth podcast. I'm Aaron Noonan. The man sitting across from me is Will Dale. Say hello to our listeners, Will.
Hello, listeners.
Hey, great to have you back. You've been on some leave, but you have come back at the perfect time because we're getting ready for the great race at Mount Panorama. And to just get into the mood, on this edition of the podcast, we are going to run through our top 10 Ford Bathurst drivers. And I got a feeling my 10 and your 10 will not be agreeing.
I've had a quick peek and you would be correct.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Right. Now, I'm sure our Sleuth followers and listeners have got their own versions and ideas of who are the greatest 10 Ford Bathurst drivers of all time. And I think there's some caveats we need to put around it, but we'll run through those over the course of the podcast. We should also remember, too, that when it comes to Ford, when it comes to Bathurst, great chance to get our plug out of the way here and now. We've got a special offer for our podcast listeners on our collector's edition Ford at Bathurst book. Now, this is the 360-page hardcover collector's edition that has a photo of every Ford to ever compete at the Great Race from 1963 to 2018. There's only 2,000 of them. We've got a handful of them left. And for a special offer for our V8 Sleuth podcast listeners, we have a discount.
Hey.
So this is how you do it. You go to store.v8sleuth.com.au. You click on the Ford at Bathurst book. Sounds straightforward. When you're going through the checkout, you type in this code to get a 10% discount. Ford Book 10.
All caps?
All caps.
One word.
One word. FORDBOOK10.
Yes.
So that'll give you a 10% discount off your book, and then it'll turn up in the post. And if you're going to Bathurst, it's a perfect thing, or indeed any other supercars races for the rest of the year, or historic events. Perfect.
Sandown's coming up.
Sandown's coming up, retro round. Perfect thing to get signed. Mm. Just for those who've started 20-odd races at Bathurst in Fords, don't make them sign every single photo, though. They might be there for a little while. Anyway, that's our offer to our podcast listeners. Head to our store, V8 Sleuth website store. It is store.v8sleuth.com.au. There's a whole range of collector prints and collectibles, posters, prints. Of course, it's within the Authentic Collectibles site, so if you're a model car fan, you're in among the right place there. Anyway, right, plugs out of the way. If you're a Ford fan, there's a book. Go get it, do it, and we're giving you a discount. Executive summary?
Good stuff. Good stuff. Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Let's bowl in to our top 10. There's been a whole pile set on socials in the lead up to this podcast. We've asked the Sleuth followers for their top 10. Will Dale, I want to hear your top 10 starting. Should we go 10 to 1 or 1 to 10?
So the traditional way, 10 to 1, slowest to fastest.
Countdown. Yeah. This is like the Ford shootout, really.
Exactly, the Ford shootout.
Okay, so now how you deem what is a Ford driver, what's your theory on that?
It's did driver X put their backside into a Ford and were they successful in it? That's the logic to my top 10 list.
Okay, my logic's also that they have to be identified as a Ford person.
So, for example,
Peter Brock is not a Ford person. He's not on my list. He doesn't come close. He did two in a Sierra, same Sierra, by the way.
Mm.
But if you had to pick Peter Brock connected to a brand of car, it's Holden every day of the week.
For sure. I get that. But you can't deny that he did make those two Bathurst starts in a Ford.
I'm not denying
exactly.
It, but it just doesn't rate.
Heads up, he's not on my list either.
Right.
But he gets an honourable mention because in those two starts in a Ford, he started on pole for one of them, finished fourth in the other.
Could have won.
Could
1990
have won.
Had those tyres not blistered. Anyway, let's get into the 10 that are in the 10, and you can all, as Sleuth podcast listeners, see if you agree with the 10. I'm sure you won't. I'm sure we're all going to have different takes on it of how you deem what the top 10 should be judged upon, but we're judging it off how we want to judge it, just as our listeners would as well. So, Will Dale, number 10 on the Ford top 10 Bathurst drivers list of all time is
Marcus Ambrose.
Okay, now this is an interesting one. Mm. He's totally a Ford guy in terms of
completely.
Who you're identifying with as a manufacturer.
Six starts all in Fords.
But did nothing at Bathurst. One pole.
One pole.
Never stood on the podium.
Correct. But he was one of Ford's leading contenders in all, well, maybe not the last one, but certainly his first five starts with Stone Brothers. He was one of the Ford drivers that everyone looked to expecting him to do things, and he was a contender in most of those races.
But you can be a contender, but you've got to deliver.
Not many Ford drivers did in that era.
That's
just
true.
Quietly.
So therefore, they shouldn't be in this list. I haven't got him in my 10.
Really?
No.
No Ambrose?
No.
Wow. Okay.
He took one pole position when he first went up. important moment in history.
For sure.
I think just the second rookie to score pole and did it in a top 15 shootout. Mm. So that's a record that's never going to be beaten because he was 11th in qualifying and then got pole.
It's pretty good.
So now
that's not going to get
short of someone being deleted from the top 10 in qualifying after qualifying or something weird happening.
And we've seen that didn't work in 2014.
No, that record's going to stay. But I haven't got him in my 10. Fantastic. If we were talking Ford top 10 championship drivers,
oh, naturally he's a shoo-in. He's in the top half of the list.
Yeah. So,
but that's why I slot him in at 10 because he had that impact for Ford at Bathurst. Didn't have the success of any of the drivers above him on my list, though.
Fair point. So, are you going to ask who's my number 10?
Who is your number 10?
My number 10 is Murray Carter. There is no greater guy to personify Ford at Bathurst and to continually turn up when the others wouldn't turn up or that they didn't go into the championship rounds. He was always there. He was ever dependable. He just kept on keeping on. He was the bloke that kept flying the flag. So,
except for the years that he hopped in a Mazda and a Nissan.
Yeah, but you can accuse all the other drivers of that. They all ended up doing other things. But his period of Ford from, what was it, early 70s, late 60s, right through to 83, 84 when he went to a Mazda, he finished third in 78. Everyone forgets that. He finished on the podium at Bathurst in the days where they didn't really bring out and celebrate podium finishes per se.
Hmm. And he was the best Ford that day,
yeah,
I think, as well.
78. He and Graham Lawrence started, I think, from memory, 31st. Hmm. It's the worst grid position for a podium finisher, or the lowest, or however you want to deem it. So Murray Carter is my number 10. I think he's a star.
That's a fair call. He was someone I did think about slotting in, but again, I rated Ambrose's pole over Murray's third place.
Oh, that's so simplistic.
But that's the thing. As much as loyalty and emotion drives part of my list, success drives.
But Ambrose had no success.
Neither did Murray Carter.
Murray Carter finished on the podium. Marcus Ambrose,
they took
zero.
Home the same
zero.
Amount of silverware.
Zero.
One trophy for third, one trophy for pole.
Oh, I'd rather a third-place trophy than a pole position trophy. No.
What do people remember more, Ambrose's pole or Murray Carter finishing third?
I knew you were going to say that. Yeah. It depends who you are and what era you're from.
Yeah, Murray probably remembers the third quite well.
I hope so. Yeah. Right, number nine.
Number nine, Mark Winterbottom.
I thought he might have been higher on your list.
There's some pretty good drivers above him, and that's what pushed him down a little.
Right.
One win, one second, two poles, and of all the drivers on this list, on my list anyway, I don't know about yours, every single start he has made in the Bathurst 1000 to this year has been in a Ford.
Longevity, absolutely, is a tick. I mean, he's the guy that's been the constant in the supercar modern era in Ford products, and of course that changes, but I don't think that changes him on this list. You know, how many more years is he going to race for full time? Might be 5, might be 10. Mm. But he's greater weight of his career in his glory days, let's say. That's not to be demeaning of what he might be able to achieve in the future. Mm. But I identify Mark Winterbottom as a Ford guy, despite the fact that he now drives a Commodore.
Well, the hard fact is he's probably not going to make 16 starts in a Holden from this point on.
No,
with all due respect to Frosty and modern medicine.
So, we need to get our rhythm going here because you need to ask me rather than me just blurting who my number nine is.
Number nine on the Aaron Noonan list of Ford drivers at Bathurst.
I pondered hard about this.
Mm.
I didn't have this guy in my 10 originally, and then I found a way for him to get into the 10.
Mm.
John Goss.
You didn't have him in the 10 initially.
Not initially.
I've got him higher in my list.
Okay. Look, a winner, great winner, 74. Mm. What's the brand I identify John Goss most with? It's Jaguar.
He made more starts in a Ford than in a Jag, though.
I know, but in my era...
And had marginally more success.
Well, I'd say marginal is very marginal. I mean, apart from that one win in 74, he had a pole in 73 and was pretty pacey.
Probably could have won that race.
Yeah,
was probably the guy who should have won that race rather than Brock.
But then every other year, I mean, not too many successful Bathurst campaigns over the journey. But... Was fronting up. Was at a time when those hard tops were, they were tough to be winning in. I don't know. There's something about Gossie. He's a bit of a different cat, but that's kind of why we love him.
Loves a word.
He does love a word.
Sorry, loves more than one word.
That's true. Yeah. That's true. But I had to put him in the 10. Just had to get him in the 10. Yep.
And that's something we both agree on, that John Goss deserves to be in the top 10.
Yep.
I have him a bit higher on the basis that he has that win, has that pole, 12 starts in a Ford. And looking at your argument of his results outside of those successes in the Ford, you look at his track record in the Jaguar, he had one good Bathurst in it.
That's all you need,
all the
mate.
Stars aligned.
Well, that's
he had
all you
one,
need.
He had two good Bathursts. Well, one and a half good Bathursts in a Ford.
One and a half?
Yeah.
How do you have half a good Bathurst?
It the either first ends half of 73 was really
it
good.
It either ends good or it doesn't end good. All right. Number 8.
So, I know I've talked about success as being a key factor in how I've assembled this list.
This is the old...
You know who's coming.
This is the old Ralph Waldo Emerson quote of what is success.
Well, number 8 is Glenn Seaton. Arguably the most success, the best driver, period, not to have won the Bathurst 1000.
That's another podcast for another day, I would agree.
Mm.
Number 8, couldn't squeeze him up a bit higher?
It's that lack of
no
outright
wins.
Success. No yeah. wins. Two poles, contender for a long period of time, Ford's leading light for a long period of time. Couple of seconds, a third.
Couple of poles.
Yeah.
You do rate pole checks.
I do.
Trophies, as you've already outlined.
I do. And that's why he gets into the list.
Oh, otherwise, without those poles, you'd drop him out?
He'd certainly be lower.
Hmm. Okay.
So, who is your number 8?
My number 8's a man who I've got a funny feeling you haven't got in your 10 at all. And I identify with this guy. I think he bounces between all sorts, but if I had to pin him down, he's probably connected more to it's Bob Jay.
Mm.
Cortinas, the early years of Bathurst, when it was in its infancy, when there was less coverage, less focus, it didn't have the prestige or the standing that it does, you know, in the modern era. Mm. If you had to pick what's Bob Jane, I think he's kind of a bit of a blend.
Yeah.
You know, he did drive Holdens. He did drive Chevy Camaro. That's probably the car that he's most identified with.
But he never raced that Camaro in a Bathurst 500 or 1000.
Correct, correct. Jaguars as well. Mm. But for mine, at that critical point of the race's history, when it was all kicking off, he was there. He was winning Cortinas, Fords. Mm. I'll put him in the list. You know,
he's a fair inclusion.
A top 10 list without Bob Jane, you know, I'm sure that you've got your reasons as to why he's not in the 10. Mm. Sometimes you just can't fit everyone in.
For sure.
But I just felt, yeah, I think Bob Jane needs to be in my 10. So he's
that
my
makes
number
sense.
8.
His Bathurst record is probably overlooked when you look at the wider context of his career and all the things he achieved, all the things he did outside of the car for that matter.
Yeah.
But no, a worthy inclusion.
Number 7.
Number 7, I have John Goss as my number 7.
Now, I have Mark Winterbottom. So, we're actually covering off people who have already discussed and mentioned as to who, what, when, where, why, and how.
Particularly funny, given the last few years of Mark Winterbottom being at Tickford Racing, he was called Gossy by his race engineer.
Why?
My understanding was because he kept getting around in his race suit.
Never changing.
Yeah, something like that. I could be wrong. Mark, please feel free to contact us.
I felt Winterbottom needed to be a little bit higher up the list. It's so hard comparing the eras of different drivers, but I think his longevity with Ford, had he not got that win in 2013, he would have been on the cusp of the 10 for me. But that's the last factory Ford win.
True.
That's when Ford backed FPR before, obviously, they rolled out. So I think he's worthy of his spot, his pole positions. You know, there was a time before he won that race, he'd never been on the podium there.
Mm.
So he had a bit of Ambrose fever going on. but he managed to stem that tide and get there. So we've sort of covered off some of the same names in our first few. Let's keep it bouncing. Let's keep it moving. Number 6 on your list.
I think we're
list.
About to actually agree on a
really?
Position here. Yeah.
Okay.
I have Harry Firth as my number 6.
I've got Harry Firth too.
Yeah.
I think this is the only one we've got the same.
Yeah.
Which is amazing when you take two people who have, we would like to think, a little bit of motorsport knowledge, but certainly a lot of passion and interest, and ask us these sorts of questions to give us a top 10, and we've only come up with one the same in the same spot. That's amazing.
And the irony is, if you brought up Harry Firth's name in the wider context of his career, what would you associate him as? What mark would you associate him with?
Ford.
As a driver?
Ford.
Yes.
A lot of people will talk about Holden and HDT era, but he wasn't
a
driver.
He wasn't a driver.
Correct.
But in the wider context of his career in motorsport.
Rallying, trials, touring car racing. Yeah.
Yeah. And again, like you said with Bob Jane, the early part of the race at Bathurst, Harry Firth as a driver, he put the runs on the board.
Mm.
He put the runs on the board.
Hard to argue.
Yeah.
Yep.
Only made 4 starts in a Ford. two wins and a third.
Made him count.
Exactly.
Made him count. Right. Well, number six. Ding. We agree. Number five. Who's your number five Ford driver of all time on the top 10 at Bathurst?
One of our favourite bearded Taswegians, John Bow.
He's the only bearded Taswegian I know.
Marcus?
Well, that
Marcus
comes and
loves
goes.
A beard.
Yeah, it's a bit straggly, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. My number five's not John Bow, but it's a guy who had a run in with him at Bathurst in 1995. My number five is Glenn Seaton. So I've got him a little bit higher on my list. Maybe it's the romanticism in me. Maybe it's the fact that obviously we do look after Glenn in some of his commercial affairs at the moment. I just think he's, I agree with you, he's the best driver never to win a Bathurst 1000. But he, for so much of his time as a Ford bloke, look at all these guys on this list. Not too many of them, handful of them, were owner drivers and successful owner drivers.
True.
So, yep, no wins. But podiums with Lounsey in the FPR car, as you mentioned. Couple of pole positions, long stint as the Ford, you know, one of the Ford fighters. From what, Sierra in 1989 through to Stone Brothers was his last one, 2006, and then he went and drove for HRT and Kelly's as well. So I just think he's a long-time servant of the Blue Oval. I guess he's probably more famous or well-known for not winning Bathurst than he is for winning two touring car championships out there among the broader fan base. So I think if you've had that impact on a race and its history and the how you are perceived and thought of in the hearts and minds of the fans, I think that's why he's number five on my list.
Indeed.
Right, four.
I think we're going to disagree on this one.
We are.
Number four on my list is Jamie Wincup.
Right. Well, it's hard to argue the results-based scenario.
For sure, exactly. And as I said off the top, results, success is probably the key thing I value. Success in a Ford is what I value in assembling this list. He made four starts in a Ford and won three of them.
What happened in the other one?
They nearly could have
won. And they didn't have a Ford badge on that last
one.
No,
true.
They had Hogs.
The Hogster didn't win that year.
Well, that's why they didn't win.
Well, of course.
If they had a Ford badge, they might have won.
Aero.
I do not have I'm preempting my final top four. But
spoilers.
Jamie Wincup is not in my 10. You know why? Because, and this comes back to how we all perceive, how we all judge it. There's no right or wrong. No, that's the beauty
exactly.
of stuff.
We came at this from different approaches.
Absolutely. To me, this is a bit like Brock in that what do I identify Jamie Wincup as? If I had to lean one way or another and you said you must make a choice, I'd say Holden.
For sure. That makes total sense.
More of his time was in Holden's, obviously GRM, Tasman, since 888 went to Holden, the best part of the last decade. No doubt, his victories in that three-peat era are legendary. They're brilliant and will be celebrated and applauded for a long time to come, as they should be. But when I deem, is he a Ford guy? And I remember when he went to 888, he actually launched a few manufacturer barbs out there, and I think he quietly got told to just cool your jets, brother.
Yeah.
I just don't identify Wincup as a Ford guy. He won Bathurst three times in a Ford. Was he a Ford guy? In my brain, he's not.
But that's it. And that's why I have him as high on this list as much as the fact that he's in the list at all. You can't overlook the fact that he won three Bathursts in a Ford. That is one of the most successful drivers of a Ford at Bathurst.
Oh, no doubt.
That record.
Yep, no doubt.
I couldn't leave him off the list on that basis.
I did.
Yes, clearly. All right, so who was your number four?
My number four is the man who was alongside him in those wins. C. Lowndes. Now, he's got this place, and it's unique, and it's different, and it's probably only because it's Craig Lowndes. If you had the grand judgment, so I'll pick Craig Lowndes at number four in my top 10 Ford Bathurst drivers list of all time.
Quick spoiler, he is my number three.
Oh, well, I don't need to ask you now, do you? Anyway, well, let's have the Lowndes discussion.
We might as well. It's back to back.
If you had to identify, is Lowndes a Holden or a Ford bloke?
It depends on what lens you're looking through. If you're a Ford fan, you would say, oh, he's a Ford guy who went back to the dark side.
You could argue it really strong. I think he's just about the only guy in the history of the sport that you could actually make a case for special exemption from making a selection and putting him in both lists.
Manufacturer agnostic.
Yeah. Yeah. Have a look at his record in Fords. I mean, forget the 00 period. That didn't deliver at Bathurst.
But could admittedly, have, but could have.
Could have. Yeah, was but up, we, was up we don't deal in could haves. We deal in what did. So, 03, runner-up. 04, runner-up. In cars that were not really season contenders.
The 04 runner-up was in a car that had to pit, what, seven times?
Eight times,
to,
I think
yeah,
it was. Yeah,
to have the oil topped up.
05, pole. Mm. Made a mistake, stuffed it early and hit the wall. Mm. Everyone talks about the tyre through the windscreen that Paul Dumbrell fired up there.
That
car's race was done because he'd already tapped the wall pushing in the lead in, what, lap 10 or something and busted the Watts linkage.
Had like a 5-second lead.
Yeah, didn't need to have it. Wins in 6, wins in 7, wins in 8, 5th in 09, and then off to Holden again.
Mm.
It's a stunning delivery in the race that matters. He's every inch of being up there.
Totally.
And we've got him at number 4.
And it is that record. It's that amount of success, which is why I've put him at number 3.
Mm. Now, see, I've got at number 3 John Bow. 2 wins. Long-serving Ford driver from 1988 in DJR Sierras right through to the end in 2007 with the Cruikshank Glenfiddich Falcon.
19 starts. That is second most of anyone on my list.
Yep. Yep. 3 seconds, I think, from memory as well. 88 in the Sierra, 96 in the Falcon.
And, of course, 92.
92 in the Sierra, which many of our listeners will say, that was a victory to the Sierra. Oh, damn that GDR.
The listeners that will say Crompton and Orphson would have won the race. Yes, we hear you too.
Yep. I've got Bow at 3.
Yeah. No, totally
for
fair.
Success, for longevity. And what do I identify him? Very strongly a blue oval guy.
Yeah, strange. I grew up in that era as a big DJR fan of John Bow, obviously. For some reason, I just don't associate him as a Ford driver. I don't know why.
What do you associate
him as? And that's it. I don't...
Do you think of Lucky Nuts when you think of John Bow? Or Viscandas?
I associate him with Rolt RT4s.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is. I just don't associate him with a manufacturer. I don't know why. I assume I'm definitely in a minority with that.
Yeah, it's strange.
Yeah.
Oh, well, it is what it is. Yeah. Okay, we're counting down. We're down to our final 2 in our 10 top 4 drivers at Bathurst list.
I think it should be reasonably obvious who the final 2 will be.
But the question is, what's your order?
Well, my number 2, Dick Johnson.
My number 2, not Dick Johnson.
Yes.
Alan Moffat.
Yeah.
This was hard.
Yeah.
This was the one that, okay, you've gone Moffat, Johnson 1-2, I've correct. Gone Johnson, Moffat.
See, the reason I have Moffat, again, as I said off the top, success is probably the big thing that dictates the order of my list.
4 wins.
4 wins, 4 poles in 14 starts.
It's a pretty good success rate.
Yeah. And Moffat was loyal to Ford up until the point that Ford actively stopped being loyal to him.
But why does a brand have to be loyal to someone? Everything ends.
Yeah.
Everything ends. Dick Johnson didn't get any money out of Ford, but he stayed driving Falcons.
True.
So for mine, so Moffat 4 wins, Johnson 3. Piles of poles, piles of podiums. In a way, Moffat, when he went from Ford to become a Mazda man, Johnson really took the Ford mantle from there to be
the
flag.
The timing couldn't have been better.
So when I look at it and go, I think Johnson won in greater levels of competition than Moffat did.
That's a fair point. That's
70
fair
and point. 71, that was the best mousetrap, a Phase 2 and a Phase 3 Falcon. Hmm. Holden had gone to Rana. I mean, you still got to do the job. You can never begrudge or deny anybody a Bathurst victory.
If he hadn't been there, Bruce McPhee would be a 2-time winner.
That's right. Exactly right. So that's my logic. That's my theory. What's your
That makes perfect sense. Well, again, he had to be there. He did the job. He stands as one of the best drivers to have raced at Bathurst. He has 4 wins, 4 poles. Trump's 3 wins, 2 poles in my list.
Judging from the way that you judge your list.
Exactly.
So, look, you could argue it either way, but I just ended up with a head in front with Johnson for his longevity with Ford brand. And obviously,
24 starts in Fords, the most of anyone on my list.
Yeah.
And when you factor
know he's not the man with the most starts in Falcons.
Who is?
It's his son. It's Stephen Johnson, who's not on this list, by the way, and there's probably an argument here or there. Had he had a win somewhere along the line, he probably would have snuck onto here. In Falcons, not Fords, because remember, he did every Bathurst in a Falcon. Dick did a pile in Sierras and even one in a Capri.
And a couple in the Mustangs.
And Mustangs too. So just a unique part of history. So recap your top 10 Ford Bathurst drivers of all time.
Let's go 1 to 10 now.
Yeah, let's do it that way.
Number 1, Alan Moffat. Number 2, Dick Johnson. Number 3, Craig Lowndes. Number 4, Jamie Wincup. Number 5, John Bow. Number 6, Silver Fox, Harry Firth. Number 7, John Goss. Number 8, Glenn Seaton. Number 9, Mark Winterbottom. And number 10, Tasmanian Devil himself, Marcus Ambrose.
And my top 10 Ford drivers of all time, Bathurst, Dick Johnson, number 1. Number 2 is Alan Moffat. Number 3 is John Bow. Number 4 is Craig Lowndes. Number 5 is Glenn Seaton. Number 6, the one we agreed on, is Harry Firth.
Yes.
Number 7, Mark Winterbottom. Number 8, Bob Jayne. Number 9, John Goss. And number 10, Murray Carter. Now, honourable mentions. Scott McLaughlin's not on your list, and he's not on my list.
No, but he did have one of the most iconic moments in Bathurst race history in 2017 in a Ford.
True, but do you identify him as a Ford driver?
Not yet.
Do you identify him more as a Volvo driver?
Yeah.
I probably do.
Yeah.
Just because of the time that he had. It was a factory team. See, my first thing that springs to mind with Scott now is he's a Penske driver, not a Ford driver.
True.
And because we're in a different era, it's not so much about the car manufacturer brands anymore.
Although you would argue this year is probably kind of relit the whole manufacturer
deal. For sure. But, you know, Van Gisbergen and Wincup in 2019, I more identify them as Red Bull drivers. Mm. Yes, they're Holden drivers, and that's a very close second, but Red Bull's the dominant element there.
Funny thing, when I was going through putting my list together, Scott McLaughlin's record at Bathurst in Fords isn't that different from Peter Brock's. They've both started twice. They've both taken one pole. Brock's best finish was a fourth, and Scott's was a third last year.
And they didn't finish the other one.
Correct.
Wow. A few similarities there.
Yeah.
Got a funny feeling Scotty Mac might change that in the years ahead.
Well, I suspect he won't find himself in a Holden next year.
No.
Like Brock did.
Well, you never know. I'm not
right. Storyline one.
No. Tony Longhurst's not on the list. A Bathurst winner in a Sierra, longtime Sierra and Falcon driver.
You see, he's another driver like John Bow that I just don't associate with Ford. Despite his Bathurst win in a Sierra and all those years in Castrol Falcons, in my head, it's probably a function of the year I grew up in, I associate him as a BMW driver more than anything else. So
it's all about the black and gold. Great top 10. Really interested in what our V8 Sleuth followers and our podcast fans have to say with their top 10. Post your top 10. We've been posting on social media in the lead up to this podcast recording with what you think your top 10 is. By all means, argue it with your friends. Send us notes. Tell us what you think. We might have missed someone from totally left field that you think is worthy. I mean, class winners? They really just don't rate. We don't have class winners anymore.
It's not a thing.
But there were drivers who were long-time, Barry Seaton, Don Smith, Laurie Nelson, blokes in Capris who were class winners year in, year out up there, or escort drivers or things like that.
Yeah, Bob Holdens and so forth.
Yeah, but it's just the case that I think it's always the outright and the big cars that dominate. So, but, of course, our book, Ford at Bathurst, 1963 to 2018, doesn't discriminate between whether they drove Falcons or not because it has every Ford to ever drive in the Great Race.
I'm glad you cleared that up because that is a question we get an awful lot regularly about this book. What about the Escorts? Yep, they're in there. Yep. What about the Capris? Yes, they're in there as well.
So we've got a full driver index of every driver to compete at Bathurst with Fords. We've got the cars that didn't start the race. So the premise of the book is that there's a photo of each and every car with some details, the driver's names, the team's names, the model of car, how many laps it did, its qualifying positions, a little fact at the bottom about the drivers, the car, what
something
happened in the
noteworthy,
race. Yeah. The car's history as well, so you can actually follow year to year specific cars and which one became the next one and so on and so forth. So if you're a podcast listener exclusive to the V8 Sleuth podcast, we have got a discount code for our book. It's limited to just 2,000 copies. We've got a handful of them left. It is Ford Book 10. If you go to our website, v8sleuth.com.au, click on the store tab up the top. That'll take you through there and you can put that discount code in when you go through the checkout and get yourself a cheaper copy of this book. And that's what you get for being a V8 Sleuth podcast listener. It's a good deal.
It really is.
Mm, great deal. And the Falcon Files magazine is also available too on our website, which we released a few years ago, documenting the racing histories of Falcon V8 supercars for the first 25 years, 1992 to 2017. So it's one to add into the files as well. But for us, for now, we're done. That's our top 10 Ford Bathurst drivers of all time. Will, thank you very much.
Thank you.
No, thank you.
Thank you.
We'll see you next time on the V8 Sleuth podcast.